Hey, welcome to a brand new episode of Straight Up Show Podcast. I am your host, Calvin. Hey, y'all, we have been having a phenomenal season this season, and it's all about like just taking chances and gambling. I'm in Vegas right now, so it's like taking chances and gambling with yourself. One of the reasons why I'm out here in Vegas is because I took a gamble on love, or what I thought was love. And, you know, it kind of put me in a downward spiral, you know. And so with that being said, you know, a lot of people, friends, colleagues, and different people have suggested that I should go to therapy. But, you know, I come from a community where, like, therapy isn't as celebrated. And so one of the things that I saw was that I may need some help. So luckily, I was able to find someone, and this is a part two of a two-part episode, and today I have none other than the one and only, she's a licensed professional therapist from my hometown, also fellow alumnus, Ms. Erin Johnston. How you doing, ma'am?
Hello, I'm great. I'm glad to be back.
All right. And Erin, well, we've been having so much fun this whole journey of doing this episode, and you have taught me a lot. And before we kind of deep dive into it, for those who missed part one, can you tell us like who you are and what do you do?
So I'm Erin Johnston. I've been working in this field for about 13 years in lots of different areas with a lot of different populations. I've worked in the hospital setting. I've worked in the court system. I've worked with juveniles, families, individuals, couples, children, alcohol and drug detox. I've even worked in a gambling inpatient facility. So that's a little bit about me. I really like to tell people as much as I can what therapy really is and how flexible and affordable it can really be. We're all very different. We all have different rates. We all have different styles. I am more of a solution-focused therapist, so I'm very like, what'd you do, what'd you say, what are you going to do next, a lot of behavior modification. And I own my own practice in Healing Minds in Shreveport, Louisiana. We have three therapists, and we have a trauma-focused yoga therapist as well as a life coach. So we try to hit a little bit of everything so we can help out people in different areas of whatever they're needing.
Yeah, and she's definitely been helping me. And it's funny enough that, you know, you made a post on Facebook looking to come on a podcast. And then, you know, luckily our friend Cody, we have a mutual friend, Cody, he actually referred me to you, referred you to me, there we go. And basically, you know, you were looking for people to go on a podcast to talk about, you know, just the importance of therapy. What was your meaning behind that post?
I just kind of wanted to get my name out there, of course, but I really, what you didn't know is a few weeks back I posted, there's a girls group in Shreveport that I posted on there about why more people aren't going to therapy. And I was getting all sorts of answers, and a lot of them were, myths, or they just simply weren't true, or it could be assumptions or bad experiences. And so I wanted to come on here and tell people that, you know, there's all different ways to do this. And some people don't like their first pick of their therapist. And we understand that. We want you to find somebody that you connect with and you mesh with, because we want you to be as comfortable as possible and get better. Also too, I wanted people to know that, like, I don't just see people for chronic mental illness. You know, everybody thinks somebody comes to therapy because they have a mental health disorder. Not at all. I have some people that are military that might have just been relocated here and they just need to get acclimated to the area. I have some people that are just out of high school and they're like, Erin, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do for a career. I don't know what's next. I have people that are brand new parents that are like, I want to learn how to be the best parent. All sorts of things. I have couples that come that don't have any problems. They just want to feel connected or, you know, do some critical thinking exercises in therapy so they don't have those problems in the future. You don't have to come to therapy with this big long list of issues and problems. You can come for anything.
And that's crazy because, like, you know, you and Healing Minds, you have three therapists, including yourself on staff, a life coach and all that. You're kind of just putting in your energy all into healing people, which is kind of like your motto at Healing Minds, right? And, you know, I made a post, which is like probably my biggest post of 2024, at the time of this recording, that it was like, well, what are people scared about going to therapy? And lo and behold, I was shocked at the responses that I got. And, you know, did it shock you? Because Aaron, me and Aaron were kind of going through the comments and kind of talking about our experiences. But like, you know, I don't think people knew you were a therapist for one. Two, did it shock you to see those many different comments and some of the things people were saying?
To be quite honest with you, Calvin, no. Only because I've just been doing this for a long time. And, you know, I ask people all the time, or I see posts, or I see TikToks or videos about, you know, why people don't go to therapy. So, no, it didn't surprise me. But that's why I wanted to do this. I wanted to explain to people, hey, that's not how it goes. Or, like, that's not really how it works. I know sometimes people say, I don't want to go to therapy, it's too expensive. And they usually ask how much they've been quoted. And 9 times out of 10, they can't tell me because people don't know how much therapy is. I don't know if I said this in round one, but I have a client who her copay is $5, which is less than a Starbucks coffee. Most people think therapy is $300 an hour or $150 an hour. Like, no, like it's not like that. There's also places that I do pro bono work too. So if you don't have insurance or you can't financially pay, like, we'll figure it out. Like there are, and also therapists do what's called a sliding scale. So your rate might be a little different from the next person's depending on like your income and situation. We understand that. And so we want y'all here. We make it work.
Yeah. And one thing that kind of stood out to me was that, you know, the energy that you put into those comment sections and how you were educating people on that. But I know one of the ones that I was kind of concerned about myself personally was the cultural difference. And part one of the episode, I said, well, how can a therapist like yourself, you know, like we kind of come from different backgrounds and stuff like that. But how could you experience, you know, the trauma I went through of laying on the floor because we were scared to get shot? And then the way you explained to me was that, you know, yeah, I may have not been there with you or understand, like, you know, that issue, but what was your feeling at that time? And I was like, you know, scared and confusion, you know, and fear and confusion. And you kind of put it to a way to where I really got coached on it, to where even though you're not of, you know, of Moortown or City Grove area where I'm from, but you understood that, you know, we all share fear. We all share confusion. And so when you said that, it kind of made me feel a little better, like, about the whole cultural difference of going to a therapist who doesn't look like me.
Right. That's probably the biggest one that I have. Some people say, you know, I want someone that looks like me or close in age to my age. Or, you know, if someone comes, you know, for parenting, they might want their therapist to also be a parent. So I get that all the time, and I'm okay with saying, hey, that's not me, but I'm going to leave you with someone who you might fit better with. I'm going to help you find your fit. And then some people say, oh, I really wish you were a little older, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. And, out of my 13 years, it's gone pretty well. Like, I've had people say, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be. You're not what I thought it was going to be. This is a lot more laid back, a lot more real, a lot more fun. Than before I started, like, I had a lot of reservations about it. I'm like, I know. So you just gotta like try it out and see. I always tell people too, try it out. If you don't like it, you're not like signing your life away to us. You can quit at any time. You can switch counselors at any time. You can take a break at any time. You're the boss. You're in charge.
And I think what makes Erin so, you know, great at her job and the way that she kind of is, the way you attract people for one. Two is that you make it very personable. You know what I mean? You kind of, you know, in a way, like I told you about Bob Griffin last night, who, you know, rest in peace, which, you know, shout out to your husband for helping me out last night. But, you know, you make it personable. And like in news, you want to make it personal about the person you're interviewing. So it's cool to see you have that trait to where you make it your clients more, you know, comfortable to talk to you. And I'm not a therapist, but I think that's really a big part of me going to therapy is to make sure that I feel a connection with me and my therapist.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, so that's another thing. We offer a free 20-minute consultation. So that could be the time to see if y'all mesh. That could be a time to ask your questions or see if you relate to the therapist. We have a lot of people take advantage of that consult. And usually at the end of it, they're like, can we just keep going? Like, can we just turn this into our first session? And we're like, yeah, of course. But that's always an option too. And a lot of therapists offer that. You know, you can call almost any therapist and say, hey, could we just talk? Could we just meet each other first and let me ask some questions about how this goes? And yeah, like, of course.
Yeah. And that's so a joy to hear, because a lot of therapists I haven't seen, I mean, I've seen a lot, but like, you know, I haven't seen therapists like yourself just going out there and reaching people, especially on social media, where it's like a breeding ground of mental illness, in my opinion. You know, like, it's so many people that you can just see, or just from even just being like, not, you know, not in the profession, you can just see how many misdiagnosed people are on social media, and it's scary. And these are people that who were actually, you know, influencers, and they're spreading that negativity and that bad energy to the followers. And so definitely, if you're in the Shreveport area, or if you want to do Teladoc, right, Aaron, reach out to Aaron, and she definitely can help you out, because she's definitely great. And already, since we did part one, I gave her homework to listen to an episode, but she also gave me homework. And one of the homeworks that you gave me was to look up, you know, codependency and basically just split personality, or what was it? Split personality disorder, borderline disorder. And so with that being said, you know, my personal situation is that, basically, long story short, had a situationship, relationship, whatever you want to call it. And it ended very badly, to where I end up, still am kind of sort of, I'm on this recovery from a downward spiral that I went through with this person, because I was codependent. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you are, it's two people. It's you giving your all to one person and not giving it back. And so this episode dealt with, we went more in detail about this in our season opener, The Mermaid Effect, a true toxic love story. And you can hear it there, but Aaron listened to it and has analyzed it and wants to tell us how basically therapy could have helped me recover from this, and even going through it at the time. So quickly, can you just tell us, like, you know, basically from your assessment, you told us already on part one, but like, you know, what are some groundbreaking moments during this whole ordeal with the Mermaid Effect that therapy could have been beneficial?
I have, I work a lot with clients, and I work a lot with couples, relationships, situationships, whatever you want to call it. And walking through a journey with a client is really interesting. We'll even like read text messages together, and I'm like, okay, let's read that again. Let me hear what you said back to that person. Okay, let me hear what they said back to that. And then we can kind of talk about it, and I'll say things like, it sounds like they're not respecting you, or it sounds like they're baiting you, or it sounds like this is a red flag, or that, or sometimes it's good. I'm like, hey, good job. That was healthy. Like, good response to that. I'm really my solution focus. I love to, like, I use my whiteboard a lot, and I'll write down, like, he said, she said, he said, she said. And we just look at it. We literally look at the visual on the board. And I'm like, what part of this sentence is toxic? And they're like, oh, well, when they said this. And I'm like, exactly. Did you respond to that, or did you respond to this part? That kind of thing. And so that's one thing I would have done if I was walking with somebody in this example, is, you know, how are you guys communicating with each other? What are you saying to each other? Is anybody apologizing for ugliness or mean comments or being unhealthy or toxic? Does anybody take responsibility? And just kind of educating people on human behavior, and letting them know, like, hey, this sounds like this person's trying to manipulate you. This sounds like this person is not being honest. This sounds like this relationship is not genuine, or whatever it is. And it can just be like a third voice, an outsider looking in. Because, you know, sometimes we'll be in a relationship and then our friends tell us what they think, and we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But when a professional does it, we might go, huh, okay, I might could see that. And you don't have to tell your friends all your business. If you tell your therapist, it stays in these four walls, and you don't have to feel judged, and they're not going to go tell anybody, oh man, Calvin's dating this girl, and this happened, and this, and guess what happened next? Like, we're not allowed to do that. It's illegal. So that should make one feel pretty safe and secure when talking about these hard things in their relationships.
And from what you know about my situation, like, you know, is that where you think it was? It was just one person using somebody? Or what do you think, from, because I sent you some text messages that you saw What do you think that that was all about? Because I mean, I'm, of course, you know, y'all, if you go back and listen to the previous episode, I was not the best person to talk to. The whole relationship started off on a lie that I did. But, you know, I tried my best to recover from it and actually apologize and make things work. So Aaron kind of is caught up with all that. But Aaron, from what you know about, from what you know on my part, be fair here, what can you assess from what we saw, what you saw?
It looked like that you made a, person one, Calvin, made a mistake. Person one, Calvin, apologized. Person two didn't accept the apology, and it sounded like she continued to hang it over your head. Like, typically with a two-person relationship, if somebody apologizes, the other one says, I forgive you, let's move forward. Or they say, I don't forgive you, and this is over. But there's always that piece where some people don't do either, and they like to hang on to that, kind of like it's their ace card in their back pocket. That way, if anything else bad happens, they can pull it out and say, well, Calvin, you lied to me from the jump, and now I'm back on top. It's very much a ping pong game. It's never like, wow, he's being honest to me now. Let's start over. I appreciate that. I accept your apology, and we move on. It sounded like there were a lot of resentments formed by her, a lot of anger, a lot of you got me, now I'm going to get you back type of behavior, a lot of revenge type of behavior.
And that's kind of why I'm confused, because, like, you know, that was a year when all this, the tragic ending happened a year after I did the whole thing. So, like, could she be plotting revenge after a whole year?
I think some people, yeah. I think some people that aren't in the best place personally go about relationships very wrong, very unhealthy, very, and it could be a defense mechanism. You know, some people have always had to, you know, fight behind whatever, whether it was at school or at home, they're always having to put up this wall of defense, that maybe she was like, I'm going to get you before you get me again. And I'm going to make sure you know that you messed up. And sometimes people just thrive on that. People thrive in chaos, and they thrive in drama.
Let me read this, because you said that you went over text messages. Let me read this to you right quick and kind of analyze this and get, this is what from our, this is a conversation between she and I. It says that, you know, I've been, this is her now. She says, I've been feeling broken since a previous boyfriend and another toxic boyfriend added trauma to the domestic violence they put me through. My recent ex made me feel like the most at ease in the relationship, like everything was going to be perfect. But all of that ended just being a lie. And with you, Calvin, I honestly don't understand why it would happen, but I feel like it did not affect me personally. I just feel you see the change in me because you saw the better in me. So what do you take on that?
It's, I don't know what her other relationship has anything to do with now. I don't know why we're bringing that up. I always like to ask people, what was your goal with that statement, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I say that probably all day, every day. What was your goal for that? It just sounds like she's trying to say, like, oh my God, all this bad stuff happened to me, and like, you just added to it. But Calvin's not responsible for your past boyfriend or your, that past relationship that did you wrong. But in her mind, she's got two and three men that have treated her wrong. So she's coming at you like you're all three. That's
why. But should I not feel responsible because of the added trauma I added onto her, or no?
I think you should feel responsible about everything you did. Now, if it adds, okay. So what happens if I come up to you and, I rob you?
Right.
I could do it. I rob you. And then you turn around and say, oh my God, I've been robbed three times. This is the fourth time I've been robbed. So it's four times as bad.
Right.
That ain't got nothing to do with me. Right. I don't know that you've been robbed three times. I'm just robbing you right now. Like, so I'm only responsible for robbing you now. I can give your stuff back. I can apologize to you. I can hit the road. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But I am not responsible for what these other people did. So in this situation, I think you've apologized for your fair share of what you've done and some of the not so healthy behaviors that you did. You've apologized. I don't think you need to apologize 10 times. I think you need to do it once sincere and genuinely. And if she wants to accept it, she can. If not, that's it.
I think what part of me is like, because we all have buried trauma. I think it's one of the biggest issues that when it comes to therapy is the buried trauma that we try to push away, which I said in our teaser that we had, is that we're afraid. And actually one of the comments in the Facebook said, we're scared to face our truth and scared to face our realities. And I'm not going to lie, my past issues with my family has affected my dating life, because it's like, I had that, in a way, abandonment issue, right? And I was very forthcoming about this with her, particularly. I don't trust easily. So to have my guard down, I trusted this person with, as vice versa, like same with her. Like she trusted me and I broke her trust. But, you know, when things didn't go my way, that's when, I guess, the emotional immature side came out to where, and I'll be on, I know y'all heard this before on the podcast, like to where a point to where she labeled me the devil, you know what I mean? Because it was a side, I know, it was a side of me she wasn't used to. You know, I told you in the text message that, you know, no matter how, she was like, no matter how much people, memories there are, you know, once they get mad at you, then there's no coming back from that. So how do we, when things don't go our way, or we're faced with trauma, or we're just in a corner, how do we combat the fact that we don't want to be this rabid dog or this person who's in a corner and lash out at the person we love?
That's a good lesson that I teach a lot, is that people come to me and they tell me these negative emotions like anger, envy, jealousy, you know, negative stuff. And they're like, I don't want to feel that, Aaron, fix that. I'm like, no, you're going to feel that. Like those are all regular emotions. But I mean, we're all going to be angry, but that doesn't mean I need to go punch someone. You can be angry. You can express that anger. But there's ways to do it and there's ways not. So when you're approached with these triggers and these traumas, like you've got to learn different coping skills to handle them. And if you know yours is going to be relationships, maybe you just say, hey, I got to call you back. Hey, I need to take a break for a couple of days. I need to think about some things. I need to go talk with my therapist. I need to take a walk. So many things we do out of anger is impulsive. So if we could just slow down, if that's 30 minutes, if that's 3 days, if that's a week, it's always, I play this game with couples that live together. And I say, every time your person gets on your nerves, I want you to write it down, but you're not allowed to tell them. I want you to do that for 3 days. They do it for 3 days. I'm like, at the end of the 3 days, I want you to look at that list. Whatever is still bothering you, you're allowed to tell them. And every single time I do that exercise, that list gets cut at least in half. Sometimes they'll be looking at that list and they're like, I can't believe I wrote that down. I was going to yell at you for that. I was going to bring this up. And they erase it and they're like, it's dumb. Like that was not worth it, but I was going to cause an argument over it. And so just slowing down is my favorite coping skill to tell people. You don't have to react right now. Hey, you can yell at him tomorrow. You can cuss her out later if you want to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it right now. Let's just see what happens.
So instead of sending a bag of ice to her house, or 12 bags of ice to her house, don't laugh. So instead of sending 12 bags of ice to her house because she was cold to me, I could have done.
Well, don't you regret that?
I do. I regret everything I said, the nastiness I said to her, the everything. And then like, but it's still not going to be received because it's like, you know, it was too much. The damage is done type thing, you know, but the damage is done on both sides. But, you know, it's like, you know, so what could have been the most appropriate situation in that? Because I was hurt. It's angry out in California looking dumb, you know. So what have you done? What would have been the appropriate action for me?
The only thing that I would suggest you to do is have a sit down conversation with her and try to move forward.
It's not possible.
Then it's over.
Mm.
It's done. Because if I tell you something that is very bothersome, you're hurting me, you're disrespecting me, you're whatever, and you say, I don't care. Why do I want to be with you? Like, you want to be with a woman that's like, Calvin, if there's something that's bothering you, let me know and I'm going to work on it. It's bothering you that I say I'm going to call you and I didn't call you. Okay, I'm going to work on that, Calvin, because I care about you. But the person that's like, you shouldn't be mad at that, or I'm not doing that, they're not for you. Y'all just aren't on the same wavelength. They might be perfect for someone else. But like with the ice thing, like I wonder how quickly you regretted it. Let's say you regretted it 2 days later. I wonder what would have happened if you would have waited 2 days to send the ice. Would you have sent it then? I don't know.
Probably not. No.
If you were regretting it after 2 days, you probably wouldn't have been as gung-ho about sending it 2 days later.
She's Erin Johnston, licensed professional therapist, definitely helping me with these skills and about coping. And we're going to have a little bit more with Erin about the next steps in my life with this chapter and how to heal. Make sure you stay tuned to the Straight Up Show podcast.
Our world is made up of roughly 8 billion people. People of different races, different cultures, and different languages. And sometimes being different is often frowned upon due to a number of things. But here at Straight Up, we believe it's our job as people to sit at the table, learn from each other, in hopes of making our world into a better place to live. So join us as we have these cultural conversations. Only on the Straight Up Show podcast.
Hey everybody out there, I'm Sutan Salahuddin.
From Southside.
Season 3 is out right now on HBO Max. Make sure you tune in. And make sure you tune in to the Straight Up Podcast Show whenever you are online. Peace.
It's Monday, and you know what that means. A new artist hits the Straight Up stage for another edition of Music Monday. Tune in to hear talented music artists from all over the world. Artists like Victoria Silk and Jonathan Valenzuela. Come experience some of the best that music has to offer and see why fans want more. Artists like the rap assassin, Five. It's Music Monday, only on the Straight Up Show podcast. Are you an up-and-coming artist and would like your music to be featured on the show? Don't wait. Send us a message right now.
All right, welcome back to the Straight Up Show podcast. I am your host, Calvin. Today, I'm joined by licensed professional therapist, Erin Johnston. Erin, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, ma'am. And this is a part two of a two-part episode about just analyzing our episode, our season opener episode, The Mermaid Effect, about a toxic relationship that I've been in, because I don't really do relationships. So when I have one, I want to hold on to it. And Erin just had to reach out and actually kind of analyze it and get and tell me how basically being a having a therapist with me would have benefited so much. So with that being said, let's kind of just gonna we heard the story. We know what happened. I had some immature things on my end. She had some immature things on her end. Erin, with all what you know so far, what's the next steps for me to heal now?
I think it's going to be very important to learn all about this relationship with a therapist. And I mean, like, I want you to start from the beginning with the therapist. I met her here. This is what we did. This is when I moved. Like, all the things. And let that therapist walk you through where there were some red flags and why did you miss them? You know, were you, you know, turning a naked eye and not, you know, turning a blind eye and not wanting to see those red flags or what? And how can we get you to see them for the future? That way, whenever you remember how earlier she said, I had trauma from this last person and this last person. We don't want you to ever say that to your next relationship. We want you to say, I was in a relationship. It didn't end well. I healed from it. I'm not bringing any baggage from that relationship to this new one because I've learned. I think you need to really learn like your values and your morals, which you might know them, but like really processing them with a therapist to kind of determine like, what are you okay with in relationships? What are you not okay with? Some people have just different standards and different ideals and values and morals. And so you're going to need to find somebody. I always say tens attract tens. And so you need to be on the same page as this person before you get in a relationship with them. And I think y'all started out on a bad foundation. I mean, you said it was built on dishonesty and not really being true to one another. That was already a big red flag on both sides. So like, I didn't see it being very successful after that. But I think you just really need to process, like, going forward, like, what am I going to be in my next relationship? I'm going to start off being honest. I'm going to start the foundation with, hey, this is who I am. And be confident.
And be very confident. And, like, the thing is this is what I battle with and what I have trouble sleeping at night about, is that I've dated around a lot of times. And it's just like, you know, kind of like you said, like, you remember on the roulette table, it's red, 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 red. And so for once, it felt like I was on black. And there are certain things I don't like about her at all. Trust me, that I don't agree with morally. But for the past 34 years, well, 15, 16 years dating, like, it was like what I want in a wife. But it wasn't like, it was like maybe 60% what I want in a wife she gave me. And the chemistry, the connection, and like just the understanding, like, it was like superb. And it's just like, that's kind of like my difficulty now, is that, yeah, it happened 4 months ago when I'm not healed right now. So I'm not looking to date, but it's like, I won't accept anything less than what she gave me. And, you know, it's horrible, but that 60% she gave me that I was looking for, I don't want to look at anybody else differently, because what that was what I want in life, is what she, that good 60 is what I wanted in life, what I want in life, in a wife and a partner. So it's kind of like, sorry.
I'm big on like words and language. I think that's fine, but I want you to say, I want some of those qualities that she had, and they are A, B, C, D, E, whatever. Mm. And also, whatever that extra 40% that she was missing, that's what you need to say you also want, whatever that is.
Mm. And it's honesty. Crazy. Definitely honesty. And that's kind of crazy, because that same language that I'm telling you, she would tell me about what she's looking for, especially like, you know, hey, Calvin, you're XYZ, you know, but you're missing like, you know, WQ, whatever. You're just missing that. And it's like, but we still kept it going. And that's kind of the hard part about it, is like, how, you know, trying to just, I don't believe in like pushing people away or like forgetting people. You know, like you said, that my friends call me delusional, and she's even called me delusional for saying that there's ever going to be a day that we actually can rekindle, or not even rekindle, or just be friends. Like, I'm just hopeful, or I'm delusional. Like, but me, I'm spirit based. And like, I've just, even when we broke up the first, or we disconnected the first time, I knew in my heart that she would come back. Not because of without, just because the chemistry, you know? So even like, kind of concluding with all this, do you think it's still delusional to think that maybe this can be fixed?
I just don't like that word.
I don't either. I hate it.
I don't like the word, but I want to kind of reframe it a little bit. If she doesn't want any type of relationship with you, why do you want one with anyone who doesn't want one with you? You know,
like, I think
it could be, but if she's like not even forgiving, not trying, not speaking to you, like, I mean, I wouldn't want someone that was that ugly and mean to me and manipulative to me as a friend or a partner. And if, do you truly think if y'all rekindled or forgave each other, whatever, do you think she's never going to bring up the things you did, hold it over your head?
I did write her a letter, because I'm a journalist. So I love writing. And that's one thing she hated about me. Like, you write too much. I'm like, I can't help it. You know, I know she's not the only person, but I write a lot. I can't help it. But I said,
you love.
I know. And
I want someone who loves that for you.
Yeah, because I'm old school romantic. I write letters. Like, look, let me tell you right quick. When we stopped talking, or even like before we stopped talking, like, just to be romantic, I would send her a different color rose every week, you know, a different color every week, every Saturday, I would send her a different rose. And because I thought it was romantic, you know, and like, that's just how I am. And so I'm old school like that, you know, and like, there's no, you don't need anything in return. Anyway, long story short is that, you know, I wrote her a letter saying that, look, I apologize for the ice. That was immature on my side, you know, regret. But I said that the person, the how Calvin is, you'll always have a room in my house, in my heart, always. So, but I said, if you want to come back in my life, you and I need to go to therapy together as friends, situations, but we need to talk together as to a therapist. And even before all this concluded, I said, look, we both need therapy, because this is unhealthy and I can't see myself without you. So I said, we need to go to therapy together. So If she can honor that, yeah, I welcome back her back in my life. If we can go to therapy together, yes. So that's my but, and I feel bad because how broken and damaged she is, I don't think she would. So my last question to you is, right now, from what you know about her a little bit, can you give her a direct message about why she needs to go to therapy and kind of like just tell her specifically what you know, kind of just directed at her about why she needs to go to therapy?
So one of my favorite psychotherapists, his name is Carl Jung, and it's spelled J-U-N-G. So some people say Jung, but it's Jung. And he has one of my favorite quotes, and he said, "You're not responsible for what happened to you, but you are responsible of fixing it." And so that's what I want to give her. Like, she might not be responsible for the things people have done to her or the horrible situation she's been in, but she is responsible for healing of it and for getting better from it. I don't see therapy harming her. I only see it helping her if she gets in with the right person and learning about herself and learning what she could have done different for her next relationship, whether it's with you or with someone else. You know, just learning about, and it might be something in her past, her childhood, her family, that she might need to process. You know, it sounded like she was very defensive a lot, and I'm wondering where that comes from. Like, did she have to be defensive growing up, or with her parents, or with a grandmother, or with, you know, school, or bullies, or whatever? Did she have to always fight? Did she have to always come on, you know, strong? And does she want to be like that? You know, some people say, yeah, I've been this way my whole life, but I hate it about myself. I don't want to be this person, but I have to, because I've been hurt so much. And, you know, about the, like that quote, hurt people hurt people. Like, if either one of you got better, you would just be better, and you would be in better relationships. Now, I don't know if that's going to be with each other, but whatever your future holds. And even if, you know, she's a mother, like, she wants to be best for her children. So let's be our best versions of ourselves, to be that mentor, to be that person that they look up to for whenever they get into relationships. Because if we don't start going to therapy now, we're just going to pass on trauma. And that's what we call generational trauma. It just goes passed down to passed down. They're going to pick up her traits. They're going to pick up her negativity. And it's just going to keep the cycle going. Like, we can break the cycle.
Wow. Dropping bombs, eh? Like, yeah, you got me, like, kind of tearing up, man. Because it does hurt. It does hurt me to know that, you know, this person was my best friend, you know, and like, I can honestly say that, you know, life is, you know, short, and it's kind of, you know, you don't share your space with just everybody. So me personally, like I said, I'll say it again. I apologize for the ignorance and the immaturity that I did. I want to start healing. I got to start with myself first, but I encourage you to take this episode, if you listen to it, to heal as well, you know, and maybe down the line, that God willingly, we all can be together and apologize together as mature adults. With that being said, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and actually dropping gems, and I hope you all have learned from Aaron. So Aaron, before we go, how can people reach out to you and connect with you and actually learn more and actually maybe come see you? Because, you know, if I'm back in Shreveport, I'm gonna come see you, you know. So how can people come see you and join? Yeah, I mean, no, I need food. You don't want my food over here. This is bad food over here.
You want our food, huh?
Yeah, I do. I want some Southern Maid, Southern Classic. I need all of it right now.
Everything's Southern, I know. So I'm Karen Johnston. I'm at Healing Minds, which is in Shreveport. If you are anywhere in the state of Louisiana, I can be your therapist. Anybody on my therapy team can do telehealth with anybody in the state of Louisiana. We are not allowed to see anybody outside of our state, just because of laws and ethics. You can reach me at my phone number, which is 318-220-1433. You can call or text that number. I'm thinking about adding like a social media account for Healing Minds so people can follow me. It's not there yet, but I'm working on that. So hopefully that'll be coming up in the near future so people can find me on social media.
Yeah, and like I said, she's definitely, you know, I came into here, you know, not knowing anything about therapy, but you definitely have lit a fire under my butt to go seek help. And I think, you know, that's the most important lesson about this whole thing. So once again, licensed professional therapist, Erin Johnston, thank you so much for coming on the Trev Show podcast. Yes, man. And so that's the end of our show. Hey, if y'all want to go talk to the, actually listen to part one of Erin's interview, go to our website right now, strayupshowpodcast.com. That's STR8upshowpodcast.com. Connect with Erin and see why Healing Mind is one of the kind of the growing business in Shreveport, why Erin's such a cool therapist and why she keeps it real. And, you know, if you're in Louisiana, contact her. You know, I got friends out in Lake Charles, Opelousas, and New Orleans, and Baton Rouge. And, you know, she is definitely a trendsetter when it comes to therapy. And the fact that she's actually going social media, reaching out to connect with people, you have to tap in. So listen to her first episode and go to our previous episodes as well to hear the mermaid effect and see how all this started. If you want to be a fan of our podcast and support us, go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/TrevShowPodcast318. That's patreon.com/TrevShowPodcast318. Until then, that's the end of our show, but there's only one rule to our show. You gotta be
straight up.
All right. See y'all soon.